all of your disciples that we are a light and we cannot be hidden. We are not those people that are hiding in the crowd. No. Jesus, we are your body, we are your army, we are light to the world. We radiate, we reflect your glory so that people can see you, to know you. So we want to thank you that in your day today you are releasing a faith. You are imparting into our lives today a greater depth of faith, enabling us, helping us to be able to move into something and to embrace a new chapter, a new season, a new manifestation of your what your grace is all about, how to live in your grace, your glory, the reality of this love of yours and this truth. And we want to thank you, Father, for the incredible way you have embraced us into something so bigger than ourselves, bigger than what we've dreamed about. You've given us such a deep sense of purpose and reason to be alive, and such hope to be able to be part of something that the whole earth is experiencing right now, the weight of your kingdom manifesting on the earth. And we see all the rumors, all the wars, that's the evidence of the earth starting to feel the weight of your kingdom advancing. So we want to thank you as we see the manifestations of all of this, because we know your kingdom, the weight of your kingdom, the reality of your kingdom is getting increasing here on this earth. So we come this morning and we say over our own lives here, over you, South Africa, God's kingdom is here. God's kingdom is within you, South Africa. God's kingdom is upon you, South Africa. And we release that today in the name and through Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Yvonne, you need some water? You got there. Super. Okay. I love the way the Holy Spirit leads. Now, when Jesus said that he's building his ecclesia, his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And we all know, as I shared previously there, that October, it's a build-up of the demonic realm, the Halloween and all that, and it's all part of the demonic realm, making sure that all the assignments are up to date, and that because December, end of December, they've got to give account to the devil of what they've done with their demonic assignments. And so Halloween is part of that, and that's why the people that participate in Halloween, they're opening up themselves for demonic activity into their lives, and that. But Jesus comes and he says to us here, guys, I'm giving you a faith to be able to see a nation set free, to be able to see a nation come into the destiny that God has, and that's why there's more faith in the hymn of Jesus than in the camp of the enemy. You see, the faith that we have is an incredible gift. And so God is helping us to be able to be awakened to the gift of faith and to embrace it and to treasure it and to use it so that we grow in this incredible faith that he has given to you and I. So today I want to just continue with where we left off last week and just what's happening, and I know the Holy Spirit wants to just impart faith into us this morning as we listen to what he has to say. We've been looking at Romans chapter 5, and we also Romans 1, and we're busy with this gift of righteousness that we receive from God. And remember, we define righteousness is God is the standard of righteousness, so it's his perfection. So we see over there that the way God looks at all of us and how he relates to us, because he's a just God, he's a righteous God, he's a holy God, He looks to mankind and he sees there that our thoughts aren't perfect. Our attitudes are not perfect. They don't meet up to his perfection. So we know that God's thoughts are perfect all the time. God's attitude, God's behavior, his nature, the way he interacts with people, with creation, everything about God is always absolutely perfect. And that's a standard of righteousness. And we know that all of us fall short of that. And that's why the glorious gospel is he sends his son Jesus Christ, who lived absolutely perfect. He fulfilled all righteousness because we couldn't do it. So our Lord Jesus did, he did it because we could not have done it. Okay, and so now when the gospel, as we look there in Romans 1 verse 16 and 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. We needed the power of God involved in our lives because we could not save ourselves. We could not do anything that is going to meet up to God's perfect standard of what his righteousness is all about. His son did it for us. And so as we are going on life, God's grace, that's God's involvement in our lives, it's him bending forwards, leaning forwards favorably towards us and embracing us. And as he leans forwards to us, he began to draw us to himself, began to work. The Holy Spirit began to work. He started a desire within us that wasn't our making. It's a work of God. And we got to the place where we heard the gospel. We heard the incredible good news. And there was a faith that God put into us. As we were hearing the gospel, there's a faith that came into us and we believed. And the moment we believed, we then received Christ's righteousness. So we now became the righteousness of God because we received the gift of righteousness. So Christ's perfection we have received. Christ is the image of God. So Christ's perfection that we received, because he's the image of God, that's God's perfection that you and I have received as we simply believed. And that's where we have been for a while, to be able to begin to be established in this gift. You will find that every born again believer that went to an altar call and believed, very, very often the reason why believers battle in life is because they have not grasped the revelation of the gift of righteousness. So they don't understand, because it's not real, they still feel condemned, they still feel ashamed, they still feel unloved, they still feel they can't have a relationship with God, God's still at distance, simply because they have not yet had the revelation of, but I've got the gift of righteousness. I've now become the righteousness of God. Christ is my righteousness, and because of that, we've entered into an incredible realm. And so we're going through that. And so in Romans 5, let's see what this gift of righteousness has done for us. And therefore, since we have been justified through faith, so we received this gift of faith. Remember what faith is? It is God's divine persuasion. That's what faith is. Okay? So we can be persuaded by religion, we can be persuaded by fear, we can be persuaded by circumstances. We are living by faith because that is persuading us, and we are living a life based on that persuasion. Okay, and so we're looking at a gift from God. So it's God's incredible way that he speaks to us, and if something happens within us, we'll look at that now. And so we've noticed there that when we receive this gift of righteousness, what takes place? Because we are now clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God now makes a judgment and he declares us not guilty. We have been justified. So now that we have been justified by faith, therefore since we have been justified through faith, this gift that God gave, we received the righteousness as a gift. Now, God declares us not guilty. Now, because we're not guilty, because we've been justified, we have peace with God. So straight away, what's taking place? Getting born again, receiving the gift of righteousness. Now we're in a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We have been declared not guilty. Our sins have been dealt with. Now we have peace. It's not just a peace. You know, everything now, the fruit, the bigness of this peace is this intimate relationship. So intimate that His Spirit has come into us. So intimate that Jesus and the Father, when the Holy Spirit came, the Father and the Son came and make His dwelling within us. That's so intimate that we can partake in His divine nature, that we can have relationship, that we can know Him. And so all of this is part of this incredible peace that we have now. And then it carries on. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So this is so big, because now that we have given the gift of faith, now that we have been given the gift of righteousness, now that God, in His point of view, He has made the decision, the sovereign God, He has declared us not guilty. Now that He declared us not guilty, Holy Spirit comes in us, we have an incredible relationship with God. Now that we have this gift of faith, now this God faith enables us to have access into this realm of grace. Access is interactive access. It's not just God speaking to us. Now this access of this grace through this incredible work of God, you and I can now have interaction with our Heavenly Father. Religious faith does not give you access into this realm of grace. Because religious faith is a faith that is bypassing grace. Because it's all about what must I do to get right with God. And this is why many believers get born again and they start off with the Spirit of God. They start off with this love of God. They start off walking in pure, simple faith. And then they get into a religious setting, and now all of a sudden, Holy Spirit, no more. Here are the rules and regulations on how to be holy, how to be faithful, how to do this, how to become a better Christian. All of this, removing the grace that's operating, removing the power of the Holy Spirit, removing the gift of righteousness. Now I'm going to try and get my own righteousness. That keeps people, that keeps believers out of experiencing the reality of God's incredible leaning forwards favorably involved with our lives. Religious faith does not give us access into this realm of grace. And because religion does not allow us to get into this realm of incredible grace, we then struggle as believers. It's hard. You're doing everything to try and obey the word of God, and I keep on falling short of that. So there's the condemnation, there's the guilt, there's all this coming to the deathbed. Have I done enough in order to be able to be accepted by God? All of that kind of rubbish, because religion, the faith of religion, does not give us access into living in the reality of this incredible interactive faith with our living God. And this is a condition that we experience in our nation, because our nation is a religious nation in all forms of religion, whether it's Christian religion, whether it is Muslim, Hindu, doesn't matter. It's religion is religion. No religion. The only faith that gives us access is the God faith, the gift of faith. That's how privileged we are. That's why it's a miracle for you and I to get born again. Because it's God's incredible involvement in our life. So God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But those who do not believe stand already condemned. See, it's this faith that God gives us that brings us into the place where God says, justified, you're not condemned, you have eternal life. Religious faith does not do this. And so we are asking the Holy Spirit, we are asking our Lord Jesus, we are praying to our Heavenly Father that He will work and prepare hearts, because when we're in a religion, we think this is the faith, this is genuine faith. But it's not. See, it's a religious, intellectual, mental kind of belief system. That's not in here. It's not a living, dynamic faith that makes our Heavenly Father so real that we can walk with our Father, we can talk with our Father, we can have a relationship with our Father. That's the God faith that we're speaking about. Okay, so now that we begin to know and to appreciate and to value and to give thanks to God for the way that He stepped into our lives and the way He gave us faith, it comes out of Him. Christ is the author of faith. So now we begin to realize, wow, God, this is what You've given to us. The righteous will live by faith. Now that I've received this gift as my starting point in You, Jesus, now the rest of my life, I want to learn how to live in this reality of this incredible faith, so that for the rest of my life, I live in the reality of Your incredible grace operating. So I live in this substance of Your grace, the manifestation of Your grace. So grace is not a fridge magnet. Grace is not a word. Grace is not just something that we read about. But now I've entered into and I'm experiencing Your grace operating. I'm experiencing it in my life. I see the fruit of this invisible grace. I see the fruit of all of that. Because of this gift of faith that our incredible Father gives to us. So the question we're asking ourselves is, what faith am I living my life by? See, is it a, because faith is a persuasion, is it a persuasion by what circumstances are saying? Then I'm bypassing grace. I'm not living in the grace. As Paul writes here in Galatians chapter 3, and he speaks to the Galatians, and he speaks how foolish you are. You began your incredible journey in this kingdom of God as children of God by the Holy Spirit. But now you're trying to put the Holy Spirit aside, and now you're wanting to now continue with the law, your own human ability to become right with God, bypassing the incredible benefits that is in Christ Jesus Christ. That's why, guys, you've got to understand, as we are now involved in discipling people, people get born again and they begin, as I said, and what happens? Now they get discipled in baptism. Now they get Baptist principles. Now they get discipled in Calvinistic stuff. Now they get discipled in Wesley. Now they get discipled, etc., etc., and all the stuff, but they're not rooted in Jesus, who's the author of faith. So they're rooted in a religious kind of thing all the time. And so many believers, they start loving God and they drift away because they have not understood this gift of righteousness. They have not understood the gift of faith. They have not understood that with this faith that God gave to us, we now step into the realm of grace. And now as we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, we stay in this realm of grace. And it's God who persuades us. Not circumstances. Not fear. Not what politicians say. Because if we're living our lives based on all of that over there, we're not living with divine faith, and we're not living in the reality of God's grace. We're missing out on all of that stuff. All of what grace entails. But we'll go into that in the near future. So we are asking because we're in a war. We're involved. We're the army of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that in our communities where we stay, where we work, where we go to school, wherever we may be, we know there that many, 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 many people are captured by religion, by religious spirit. We know that there are many believers that are battling to be able to live a life where we see there that this with this gift of grace, what happens there in this righteousness? Grace reigns through the gift of righteousness. And people are struggling. People are struggling in all kinds of things in their lives. They just can't have the victory, and they say that Christianity doesn't work. No, it will not work. Jesus, in Him, the real Jesus works in Him. And we've got to help people now to start to come out of being captured by a religious system, by intellectual faith, a faith from tradition, a faith from their parents, a faith from culture, all of those faiths that we just, oh, that's who we are. And all of that is persuading us how to live and into the real reality. And that's why we've prayed, Father, draw people to your Son, Jesus Christ. Because unless you draw people to Jesus, they're not going to get this. And we are totally reliant on the incredible love of the Father, of the Heavenly Father, to draw people to his Son, Jesus Christ. And you and I are involved in sharing the gospel. Now, as we know the reality of gifts, we know now when we start discipling people, we know that we're starting off with the reality of explaining this incredible gift of righteousness and what this faith is all about. So that now from the starting point, they've experienced faith, the pure faith when they believed in Jesus Christ. Now you're going to start to disciple for them to start to be able to recognize the different kinds of faiths, to recognize the human faith. Your own mind, your own thoughts. Oh, it's impossible. I can't do this or this or whatever. And now you start to live by faith in your own persuasion. So you can help them to recognize that's not the divine faith. You can help them to recognize when the demonic speaks into their lives, you are useless, you're not good enough. How dare you stand up and testify? How dare you pray for somebody? You know that the demonic voice trying to persuade you not to do the will of God. And we can listen to that and we can say, yes, I believe I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. Bypassing the gift of righteousness. Because we're in Him. We're living in His perfection. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith. So now we're starting to live our life by faith. So now you can help the people that you're discipling. That's a demonic thing. Don't listen to that. What has God said? Now you can help the folk to begin to understand religion. The difference is, take Christian religion, where all the time, guys, you need to tithe. Because if you do not tithe, you're going to experience the wrath of God. This is religion speaking now. You're going to experience the wrath of God. Because the Bible says, Malachi chapter 3. And now we are fully persuaded. We are fully persuaded. If I don't tithe, then I'm going to step out of this building and God's good lightning is going to zap me and I'm going to die. So I live my life by fear. See, all of this is religion. It's not relationship where you give with a loving heart, you give unto Jesus. It's totally different. See, the religion in the Christian circles will come and they'll come with all kinds of rules and regulations. And they'll speak about things. They would say, like, for instance, you need to become a member so that you can experience the blessing and the grace from this ministry. Let me ask you a question. Did you have to go and sign a membership form to be in your family? Can you see what religion does? So now we live in fear because if I'm not a member of a particular church and that they now all of a sudden, whoa, what's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh, and now maybe my finances are cursed because I'm not a member of a church. That's religion. And we are fully persuaded by all of this and we live by faith by that persuasion. And not in the reality of our Heavenly Father and His involvement and our involvement in intimacy with Him. So, we ask ourselves, who's persuading us? Okay, because then you know that the kind of faith that we're living. So here we have in Hebrews chapter 11, and we see a most incredible insight into one aspect of this gift that God has given to us. And in verse 1, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, this is where the writer, the Hebrews, shares a little bit of what this incredible gift of faith is about. And this is one aspect, there's much more, but this gives us a good starting point. He says here, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we did not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. That word commended means that there are all these examples in Hebrews 11, they are witnessing to us. It's a testimony of what verse 1 is all about. So if we want to understand verse 1, we need to read through all the examples and spend time studying each one. And each one, every single person over here, will open up the revelation of what this faith is all about. Their lifestyle, how they responded, how they lived, how they thought, how they behaved, opens up the definition of verse 1. And so we read here in Hebrews 11 verse 1. Notice this. Faith, that's divine persuasion, is the assurance of things hoped for. So we first of all, we're seeing it's the assurance of things hoped for. And then the second part of it is the conviction of things not yet seen. So this divine persuasion, faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, remember the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and communicates so that we have the deep things of our Father, we have the mind of Christ. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to communicate to us. So as our Heavenly Father speaks to us and we experience what He's saying, so you might be reading the Word of God and that scripture like comes up and you know, but Father, you're speaking to me. Thank you. Faith comes from hearing. So now all of a sudden there's a divine persuasion that I'm experiencing inside of me. My spirit is beginning to hear something, beginning to become alive. There's something taking place with inside of me, first of all. I'll then later renew my mind to this. But now my spirit is starting to communicate something to me because the Holy Spirit is communicating to our spirit. And so we first of all, we see there that the first thing that takes place with this faith is that it's the assurance. So a God faith brings about a deep sense of assurance of something that I hope for. Hope is something not yet a reality. Still something that is there. It's not yet my experience. And so as we looked previously at that word assurance over here, that word assurance is the word for foundation. It's the word for substance. It's the word for guarantee. So when God speaks to you and us, something takes place within us, inside of us, there's like this incredible guarantee that what God is saying is going to take place. What's happening as God speaks to us, this faith inside of us, creates a foundation that is solid to be able to receive that which He has promised, the unseen, the hope. Now all of a sudden there's a landing spot, there's a place for the promise of God, for grace is unseen. You see, you can't see grace. But now as God starts to speak about that, this faith enables us to enter into this incredible grace that we now stand, what takes place? When we hear these things, the Holy Spirit is speaking, and now all of a sudden grace. It's like it's got a place to land and for me to begin to step into and to start to experience it. So when we speak about this word assurance, this God faith inside of you, there is this incredible guarantee is going to take place. That's the assurance. There's a foundation now for the hope which is unseen, the hope which is not yet a reality, to now have a place where it can come into my life and to become a reality. We'll look at the examples. And then we carry on and we see in our faith, for faith is being sure of what, faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. This word conviction is also an incredible word. It's when you do maybe like a science experiment and you need to prove something. It's a proof. It's a guarantee again. So this word conviction is something that has gone through a test to prove that it's real, it's reality. So this incredible gift that God gives to you and I, this faith, we see it's a conviction of things yet not seen. So we don't have to see the end result yet. We don't have to see it become a reality. But as we hear God, that faith that He's put into us is the proof that's going to take place. So that's why we don't doubt. That's why everything in life is to try and get us out of living in this God faith, to get us to doubt, to remove the conviction, to remove the foundation. Because the last thing the devil wants is for what God has promised to materialize and to manifest in our natural lives. Faith is the foundation for that which is unseen to become a reality in our own lives. This is an incredible gift that our Father has given to us. That's why I always say, when as God speaks to you and I and the Word comes alive to us, don't just quickly go over that. Oh, no. In that Word that God is highlighting, even this morning as God is speaking to us about this, here is something that we need to spend time, we need to go into it, because all what God is sharing here is so deep, so big, and it's so important for us to be able to receive and understand this gift of faith that we have been given by Him, to be able to live by faith for all the incredible works that He has purposed for you and I to be involved with. And so we come and just look at verse 3, by faith, this divine persuasion, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So once again, we're dealing with the unseen, but now the starting point here is the writer says, let's look at God. Let's look at how He operates in this area. In the heart of God, in the mind of God, all of creation was there, but it had not yet manifest. The faith, because faith comes from God, so He's full of faith, He is faith. Now, what does He do? He speaks. And as He speaks, that which was seen in His own heart now becomes the physical manifestation, and you and I are living in the physical manifestation of God's faith. But notice how it works. God spoke. Notice Jesus' teaching when He starts to speak about the reality of the fig tree. And Jesus says, when He comes into the incredible reality of coming to the Jerusalem before He's crucified, and He curses that fig tree. And Jesus says to the disciples, because they're amazed, and He says, guys, if you believe, you can ask, you can say, and it will obey you. So here we see the Father, God in creation speaking, and what He says materialized. In other words, there was an obedience to it. Earth obeyed the voice of God. Hasn't changed. That's why as we believe, we speak. But we don't speak what we sort of maybe. We speak from foundation. We speak from conviction. We speak from assurance. We speak from guarantee. Because we've heard God, now we speak. This is what we're speaking about. So the prayer of faith is not a prayer of intellectual beliefs. It's not a prayer of hoping and this and that. The prayer of faith is a prayer that has got all of this inside of us. So the prayer of faith is, there's a conviction, there's an assurance, there's a guarantee, there's a knowing that the hope that I have is going to become a reality. Knowing that I cannot yet see in my own physical manifestation, I cannot yet see it happening, but I can see it with my eyes of my heart. It's more real to me than what my physical situation is saying. So we come to a practical example. The month end comes, you've got your bills, and you don't have money. See, this faith, the promise of God is more real to you than that bill. See, this is how real this is. That bull, that account can persuade me, or the promise that's alive within me can be my divine persuasion. And faith will now walk in that reality. See, I want us to understand where God wants to move us into a deeper understanding and a deeper manifestation, a deeper lifestyle of this faith. So now it's not just a bit of faith and just sort of hoping these things will take place. Now, before we pray, before we ask God, before we do things, God, I need to hear you speak. I want to know what's on your heart. Faith comes from hearing you. And as we experience this deep conviction, this assurance, all that taking place, now I know I can pray. I can speak, because now I know that that which is still unseen will now manifest. This is what we're speaking about. He's sharing with us so that we can step into a deeper depth of this incredible faith. This faith is so deep, and it's like God is taking us into the exploring the depth of the faith that's in God. And the Holy Spirit now is starting to say, let me help you to understand the depth of the faith that's in God. In your situation here, let me now share with you how this faith works. In this given situation, let me share with you how this faith in our Father works. All the time now, it's part of our learning, it's part of us to look at our situations that are challenging us now, and not to now hide in the crowd and bury your head. But now, this is an area, Father, show me, Holy Spirit, show me how this faith in the Father that's heart, show me how it works in my situation. The Holy Spirit will share from Jesus a truth. Faith comes from hearing. You'll experience this divine awakening within you. You will renew your mind to the truth. So your mind is not persuading you. Your mind is being renewed to the truth that the Holy Spirit has birthed within you. You're renewing your mind. Otherwise, we will live by our mind and not by the Spirit. True worshippers worship in truth and in spirit, spirit and in truth. So we are going to be learning now how to take those thoughts captive and to ask ourselves, who's actually persuading me right now? Have I heard from my Father? Do I understand what it is to be established in the gift of righteousness? Because when I know what it is to be established in the gift of righteousness, it removes a lot of stuff. Maybe this, maybe that. Because you're living in the reality of grace. You're living in the reality of our Father's involvement in every detail of our lives. You're living in the reality where the Holy Spirit is communicating. So it comes much easier to know what to do, to know what to pray for, to know how to respond, to know what next decision you need to be making, what that decision needs to be, because you're living in the realm of this incredible grace. This is why this gift of faith, this is why this gift of righteousness is such a foundational truth for you and I to live as children of God, loved by the Father, accepted by the Father. And this is why Jesus says, this is eternal life, that you may know the true God and the Son Jesus Christ. See, it's only in this realm of grace, only with this gift of righteousness, it's only with this gift of faith, it's only because of this we've entered into have access into this realm of grace so that we can truly know what eternal life's all about. Religious faith does not allow you to know the Father. You may know the Father here in the mind, but not in living relationship. How many believers do you know that knows what it is to be loved by the Father? To be able to just be so secure in the Father's love. How many believers do you know that can look forward to the future of this nation? Because they've heard from the Father, they know the love the Father has for the people of this nation. They know that His Son Jesus Christ has asked the Father for the nations as His inheritance. To know with the conviction, with assurance, to have a foundation, to be able to bring the inheritance of Jesus into South Africa. How many believers do you know have got this God faith? Or how many believers do you know that's being persuaded by everything else? That does not live by a God faith, but by every other faith that's available. Can you see how God so loves South Africa that He gives South Africa, you and I, as a gift? To walk in faith, to live in faith, to bring about, not hiding in the crowds, but to come out, removing the roof of all our unbelief and our impossibles and our excuses, removing that roof, because we're determined to get what God wants for our nation, and to press through and to see the invisible inheritance of Jesus manifest here on earth. See, guys, we're called for a purpose. We're called to be involved with the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to advance the kingdom of God. We're called and given the Great Commission as our mandate. And when Jesus speaks and He's telling the disciples, when they asked Him about the signs of the end of the time, etc., and Jesus speaks and He says to the guys, when you see all of these things, the earthquakes, the wars and all that, you've got to understand that that is the earth groaning because My kingdom's advancing. My kingdom's advancing and the earth is groaning. Can you hear the groan of the earth? Because the kingdom of God is advancing. Because there are believers that believe Christ is the King. And Christ's kingdom is within us as well. And now we're advancing with our King Jesus to set the captives free. To be involved whatever He wants to do. The mighty army of God. And this is the glorious body of Christ that's rising up. Can you see? When I speak about seeing, very often people think in terms of the prophetic, the visions, etc. Now, that's something else I'm talking about. The seeing the unseen over here, I'm speaking about faith enables you to see with certainty, with a guarantee, the unseen. So it's the eyes of your heart that is open and you're able to see. So you can have a look at all the examples in Hebrews 11 and we can read over here. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Can you see? It's always God's way of doing it. Since the fall of man, if you believe, you are credited righteous. It wasn't just Abraham. Here we see Noah, who simply believed and built the ark, and God credited him his righteousness. That's how it works. It's the way of God. Faith is vital, and that's why He has to give us faith so that we can receive the gift of righteousness. But Noah did not yet understand rain. He did not yet understand this whole thing about a flood. But faith enabled him to be able to do and then begin to have the foundation for that which God promised to manifest. And they had the flood, etc. By faith, Abraham was called. We look at Abram's wife Sarah and we see by faith, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So here we see Sarah, good example. God has promised, she's barren. the full persuasion of all the other faiths operating within her. She's barren, experienced, all that there, that's there. But God speaks. Faith comes from hearing. And now, she has not yet seen the baby. She's not yet pregnant. But what does she see? See, faith sees the unseen. Now she sees that God, who spoke, she sees His faithfulness. The unseen quality, attribute of God, His faithfulness. That's what she sees. See, that is why we have our eyes fixed on God, because we see His nature, we see who He is. And faith sees that and is fully persuaded, because our God cannot lie. Every promise is a yes and amen in His Son Jesus. So whenever I'm having a bit of a wobbly and I'm having a bit of a doubt and having a bit of an issue, it's simply because I'm not focused on the reality of who my God is. What's His nature? What's His character like? And then I know, well, Lord, let me repent. In other words, let me change the way that I'm looking at the situation, because I'm looking at it from a worldly perspective. I need to have my eyes back on You. And then Christ just puts fire to faith again. Amen. So, guys, our Lord is imparting faith. He's helping us to understand, and where religious faith and this gift of faith has been sort of integrated there, the Holy Spirit's now helping us to that's religious faith. The pure faith, everything about this God faith will be the reality of Jesus Christ, who He is, what He has done. Opening up the reality of our Heavenly Father. Anything that bypassing Jesus, then we know, whoa, that's my human add-on. Let me not get involved with that. If the Holy Spirit says I must do that, I do that. So it's a total obedience to Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 14, as we close, He says something incredible, and He says to the guys, see what I've been doing. Let me tell you something. And He says, truly, let me tell you, what I'm saying to you is the absolute truth, because I cannot lie. But you need to help me say truly, because otherwise you're going to doubt. This is too good to be true. He says, so what I've been doing, you're going to be doing the same things, even greater works. Whatever you ask in My name, whatever you ask in My name, I will do it, so that My Father is glorified. And this is what this is all about. It's not for us, for our glory. This gift of faith, this righteousness, everything, as we walk in this faith, is so that our Father is glorified here on earth. What a privilege we have, eh? What a joy for people to be able to know our Heavenly Father, and He is glorified. So, Father, thank You for the gift that You have given us. Thank You, Jesus, that You are our righteousness. And because of the miracle of being born again by the Holy Spirit, we have received and we have become the righteousness of God, because we are clothed in Your righteousness. Thank You that You have set us free from us trying to be perfect in our thoughts and our attitudes and our behavior. Thank You, Jesus, that as we partake with Your incredible broken body, there had to be a body in order for there to be blood. There had to be Your broken body. There had to be the sacrifice. Otherwise, there would not be blood. So this morning, as we partake with Your the bread your broken body, we first of all come and we want to thank you, Lord, that all of our imperfections, all of our failures, all of our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities, all, the whole full package, you took upon yourself. What a sacrifice, Lord. And you said to the Father, Father, the sacrifices of animals and oxen and bulls you don't desire, but you have prepared a body for me. Here I come. Your willingness to be that sacrifice. And so as we eat the bread, we celebrate your willingness, we celebrate your love, so that you could live the perfect life, the righteous requirements of the Father, which we could not have. So we eat and we partake and we receive this incredible gift of righteousness. As we drink the grape juice, remembering your blood, Lord, what a privilege to know that this blood of yours continually purifies and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we receive the incredible ongoing work as we have the gift now to start to experience, but because of your blood, Lord, the results of us becoming holy, the results of your blood cleansing us and purifying us from all unrighteousness. And as a result, Lord Jesus, this incredible grace working, the power of the Holy Spirit working, and we respond. We just love you, we obey you, and we respond to what you were saying, and we start to look back and we see, wow, Lord, there's an inner transformation that's taken place because of this powerful working blood of yours. And so we thank you. We want to thank you that this blood cleanses us in our thoughts and our minds, and it brings about the reality of the gift of righteousness. So the gift of righteousness becomes such a manifestation within us. And we thank you for this, Lord. What a privilege, what a joy. So we just want to thank you, Jesus, to sit with you, to eat with you, to celebrate with you, to remember you, Father, for sending your Son, and to remember you, Holy Spirit, that when Jesus asked for you, the Father sent you to come and dwell within us, to help us. So we thank you for just your goodness, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.